Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality.
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
If I had $1 million,
I'd sell the tree for NIR.
If I had $1 million,
you could help, it wouldn't be that hard.
All right, of course, that's music for Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Brian is off this week. And next week, he'll be back in the studio in a couple of weeks. So it is Thursday, June 1st, 2023, and I have a very special guest on the phone. Larry alluded to him earlier, Mojave County Supervisors Chairman Travis Lingenfelter. Welcome to the show, Supervisor Lingenfelter.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you calling in. I know you couldn't make it here. There's so much going on, and there's that ADWR presser that's going on with Governor Katie Hobbs later at 1 o'clock. We'll get into that in detail later on in the show, and I'm sure that's a big reason why you wanted to kind of stick by the office. I also want to talk about, I just have a little bit of housekeeping to do here. The county has that urgent notice. We went over this a couple of days ago, but pet owners in the Hualapai Mountains, just secure your pets. Because of in response to a confirmed rabid fox and additional aggressive foxes or wild animals in the vicinity of the Hualapai Mountains. That's near I-40, Pinyon Pines, and the Lazy YU community. The Mojave County Department of Public Health and other local authorities are now issuing a high priority alert to all residents, especially pet owners near the Hualapai. So make sure your pets are up on their vaccinations, especially the rabies shot, rabies certificate, whatever you need to do to get that all up to date. Get her done, because there's some animals out there that there is one confirmed, and I heard there's one that's suspected. So rabies is making a return to Mojave County, and we wouldn't want to see any pets, domestic pets anyway, get infected with that virus. So I know, Travis, you agree with me on that. You're probably a pet owner as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, everybody needs to make sure that just keep an eye on your pets if you're up in the Hualapais right now as this situation is dealt with.
Right. You know, a rabid animal would just strike out for no reason. They wouldn't be as timid as normal. So that's the reason for the warning. But again, we have County Supervisors Chair Travis Lingenfelter on the phone. He'll be with us the entire hour. And you can call in if you have a question for our supervisor's chair. The other phone line is open, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. I'm sure you're familiar with the phone calls, right, Supervisor?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. And the reason I reached out to you, I knew I had the opening today, was because of the congressional subcommittee that you testified in front of last week, and it was about this national monument and the public lands debate, fight, whatever you want to talk about, and it greatly affects Mojave County. Kind of give us the backstory, and then tell us what you testified about on Capitol Hill.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, again, thanks for having me on. We've got a lot of content that we can cover today. So that was an invitation that came in pretty suddenly, actually, and it was the U.S. House Representatives Committee on Natural Resources. They actually have a subcommittee on oversight and investigation, and they held a hearing last Wednesday on the 24th at 10 a.m. D.C. time. And it was called Examining the Biden Administration's Efforts to Limit Access to Public Lands. There were four witnesses that were invited from across the country to testify. I was one of those. They also had the Prairie County Commissioner from Montana. They had the Director of Nevada Department of Agriculture. They had the New Mexico Commissioner of Public Lands. So there were four witnesses during the panel, and Mojave County, we basically said, look, we're opposed to this new Baj National Monument designation for its 1.1 million acres. You know, the land coverage within Mojave County alone in my district is 445,160 acres in Mojave County. State trust land comprises just over 9% of what they're proposing at 41,000 acres. Interestingly, there is also privately held land, about 12,000 acres included in the boundaries, which we thought was peculiar. But honestly, you know, this is just about trying to prevent uranium mining. If you look at the proposed boundaries, the land that they're talking about is, you know, 90% of that is already managed by the BLM. So, you know, we're curious. You know, we've done a really good job with working with the BLM, you know, through their federal oversight, their management, working collaboratively with the state, with the county, with tribal leaders, elected leaders. And why is that level of management no longer sufficient? Well, you know, they're just trying to get rid of uranium mining, really. And what I pointed out during the hearing was the federal government doesn't need a national monument in order to deny mining permits. They already have that authority. You know, people need to understand that the state of Arizona is already almost 50% managed now and owned by the federal government. Within Mojave County, it's even worse. We only have 10% privately owned land here in Mojave County. So the state of Arizona and Mojave County simply cannot afford to lose any more land to the federal government. On top of that, Arizona has 18 national monuments already. That's more than any other state out there. We don't need a 19th national monument. So that's kind of what we testified in opposition. And I thought it went pretty well. The hearing went almost just under 2 hours, and a lot of participation. It was good.
Yeah, this has been a long time crusade for our District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson here in Lake Havasu City. And, you know, when you're a county supervisor, obviously you're going up against congressional people like Raul Grijalva. For some reason, represents the southern part of the state, but he's interested in our national monument designations in Mojave County. I can't explain that. Does that make this an uphill battle?
Well, you know, when it comes to these federal fights on federal land, mm-hmm. you know, these lands are held in trust for all of us. And so for Grijalva and for the Biden administration to try to use the Antiquities Act to take away any sort of the semblance of a public participation process so that everybody can give their comments so that the science of this thing can actually be properly evaluated. They just rest their hat on talking points. You know, they say things like during the hearing, they said, you know, you've got all these tribes that are living a legacy of cancer and things like this. And that is an emotional statement, right? But they don't ever show the science behind it. They don't ever show how is that. I remember back under the Obama administration, when his Interior Secretary, Ken Salazar, they imposed a 20-year moratorium on uranium mining in this very area for what they're talking about now for this new national monument. Mm-hmm. And back then, if you look at public records and the Park Service, they could find no proof, no evidence that this uranium, naturally occurring breccia pipes, these uranium areas were having any sort of a measurable effect on the water supply or anything like this. So they just use these heart-jerking statements. They try to convince you that the mining is actually happening in the Grand Canyon, that it's ravaging populations, and it's just not. It's not true. It's just not true.
Right.
Science is not supporting it.
And when you're on the East Coast like they are, you know, and you look at a map, it looks like it's next to the Grand Canyon, but not exactly. So tell us what the economic impact would be to Mojave County if this national monument designation takes place and all of this becomes federal land.
Well, I mean, I can speak in general terms. I mean, here in Mojave County, mining's annual job earnings is, you know, like $58,000, almost $59,000. These national monuments typically have an unintended consequence of creating what I call poverty with a view, because it basically says all you can do is tourism-related jobs. Mm-hmm. Tourism-related jobs. Most of those jobs are just above poverty rate. And this is in an area where, you know, in my district, you have communities like Colorado City, Centennial Park, Cane Beds, which are battling, you know, they're doing great things. They're seeing a terrific, tremendous economic resurgence right now, but they're still seeing poverty rates over 40% from what has occurred up there in the past. So by designating this as a national monument, you're just going to be, you know, further isolating them and further harming their economic prospects. So that's what we have to stand up against.
Yeah, especially at a time when the Democratic Party is kind of doing an about-face on nuclear power. Uranium is something that's going to be needed for those fuel rods to power those nuclear plants.
You know, that's absolutely right. Is it, just from a policy standpoint, you know, is forever locking down known American natural resources really the wisest course of action when you're looking at an uncertain future and international players like China and Russia who don't have our best interests at heart, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that makes much sense. It's a national security question, really. And nuclear power absolutely has to be on the table. It has to be. And I tell people, you know, for instance, everybody knows the Palo Verde Generating Station. You know, that's the nation's largest power plant. It generates electricity for 4.1 million people across the Southwest, mm-hmm. and it would take about 192 square mile field lined with solar panels, which is about the size of the entire city of Scottsdale, Arizona, to equal that. So, you know, my position, I believe that what our position is here, if the feds are so serious about effective and real green energy, then they should stop bulldozing what's left of our beautiful desert and start building the next generation of efficient nuclear plants. I mean, that just makes sense to do that.
Right. Nuclear is 24/7, and it doesn't matter if it's cloudy out either. So there you have it.
Yeah, and most of these solar panels are manufactured in China anyway.
Oh, there is that too. Yeah, isn't it funny though, Supervisor Lingenfelter, how it's okay to mine rare earth minerals and uranium and other things out of the ground in China and other countries, but it's not allowed here. You know, aren't you still harming the earth?
Yeah, you know, when you get the message that it's bad to mine coal or uranium, but it's good to mine lithium and cobalt and nickel. And some of these other things, you know, you're really kind of getting conned. It's not the whole story.
Right, exactly. I'm going to float in the next break for a few minutes. I want to get into this this press conference that Governor Hobbs and the Arizona Department of Water Resources are going to be partnering on. Give us a little preview on that. What do you think? What's going to happen?
Well, it's interesting. I'm definitely going to be tuning in. So today, Governor Hobbs and ADWR Director Tom Bashansky, they're going to be holding a press conference to give an update on Arizona's water resources and to highlight what they're calling new investments towards securing Arizona's water future. They said that the event is going to include a major announcement from the governor and from ADWR. If I had to guess, mm-hmm. and I could be wrong, but I try to stay up on this stuff, I'm betting that they might publicly unveil something called the East Salt River Subbasin Groundwater Model Report. That's in the East Valley, the Queen Creek area. Everybody's familiar with Queen Creek, the Pinal County area, mm-hmm. that they don't have enough water for their 100-year assured water supply. So that would be the second report that the governor has released if this happens today. Everybody remembers that in, I think it was January, she released the Lower Haciampa Subbasin Groundwater Model Report, which is on the other side of the valley in the West Valley,
right.
which it affected cities of Buckeye, Avondale. And that report said that they were about 4.4 million acre feet short in the West Valley of their 100-year water supply. So you know, that's why it's so important for all of us in rural to stay close, to stay organized, whether it's groundwater, whether it's our Colorado River water. These water supplies in rural are forever water supplies. There is no other water supplies for us, so we have to do a really good job of protecting those and managing those resources.
Right, and there's so much to discuss when it comes to that. I don't even know where to branch off from that. But the one thing I'm thinking is, isn't the desal plant that our previous governor wanted, wouldn't that be a good option right now, seeing as they set aside about $1 billion for the construction of that?
Yeah, they did set aside $1 billion for what they call water augmentation, which is bringing what they're calling new water from outside of the state into the state. Desal is one of the strategies that they're looking at, and I'm sure it's going to be part of the long-term equation. But the technology there right now, at least here, I know that they're going over to Israel and consulting with Israel and other places that are a little more advanced than we are right now. But the scale of these plants, you know, is nowhere near where it needs to be. It's not as big as it needs to be to supply millions and millions of people, right? I mean, right now, if you look at the Carlsbad desal plant over north of San Diego, if you go onto their website, they say that they are the most high-tech, sophisticated, state-of-the-art desal plant in the Western Hemisphere. They're only providing about 10% of the San Diego area's total water supply, and you can order up an acre foot of that water right now for about $2,700 an acre foot. So you compare that with what you can get at a cap right now, you know, less than $400 an acre foot. There's a huge delta there, right?
Right.
So it needs to get a lot more cost competitive. The scale of it needs to grow. So it'll be part of the solution, but it's not a panacea. It's not a solve everything type of a thing.
You may not know the answer here, but is that because of supply and demand, or is it the expense of the process? How does that work?
Well, I think it's you know, kind of all of the above. I mean,
okay.
Definitely the expense of the process. The technology is at a point where it's just, you know, not at a price point that you know, $2,700 versus $400. That's a huge difference,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So. And not only that, but they still have international agreements to square away with the federal government, with Mexico. So these are, you know, mid to long term solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Short term, you know, when you see all these water stresses in the East Valley and the West Valley down there, you know, you have developers that want to continue to grow and see that development, but they're sort of pretending like they still live in a frontier with no scarce resources, right? So that's where they're starting to look at rural groundwater basins. They're starting to look at how do we partner with hedge funds to do water transfers off the river.
Wow.
That's why we have to really stay solid and oppose anybody coming after our rural water resources, right?
Yeah.
Because in the short term, it's inevitable. You're going to see additional groundwater use. If we're going to still see growth like we're seeing.
Definitely have our work cut out for us as far as defending our water. Let's go ahead and take a short break, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more with Mojave County Supervisors Chairman Travis Lingenfelter. He's the point man when it comes to water, that's for sure. But we've got a whole lot more to talk about, including that Colorado River agreement with the lower basin states, the three states. Joe Lombardo just signed, from what I understand, signed on to the agreement. Everything's all good with Nevada as far as their new governor goes. You are a rock and roll fan, if I remember right. Is that right, Supervisor?
Absolutely. Good memory, yeah.
That's what I thought. Well, I kind of remember people by the kind of music that they like. And since I play the kind of music that you like for bumper music, we're going to go into some Chicago 25 or 6 to 4, come back with some more classic rock as we chat with Supervisors Chairman Travis Lingenfelter. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
25 or 6 to 4.
nothing like a little Eddie, Alex, Michael, and David to fire you up, Supervisor Lingenfelter. Thanks for the suggestion, by the way. I love it.
You bet.
And no problem. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology at lesolson.com/Kingman, and by The Chair, Havasu-style dining, great music with live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. It's The Chair. And don't forget, we stream live. Our show archives are at KNTRtalk.com. Just look for the Speak Out tab. And this show will be posted, oh, pretty much, I would say by 12:15, 12:30. You can go back and critique yourself, Supervisor Lingenfelter.
All right.
All right. Travis Lingenfelter, our guest. He's the Mojave County Supervisor's Chairman. And while we're on the topic of water, let's talk about the Colorado River Agreement with the Lower Basin States. It's a little fresh still, and it's just a proposal at this point, right? Do we need to stress that, or is this set in stone? Is it going to sail through, or are we good to go?
No, it's a great question. It's still a proposal, and just to kind of give everybody the Reader's Digest overview, last year the Department of Interior and the Bureau of Reclamation said in order to keep the lake levels at Powell and Meade from crashing and taking us down to something called minimum power pool or even dead pool, that they needed to see conservation between 4 and 6 million acre feet through 2026. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge, huge numbers. So then the federal government issued something called a supplemental environmental impact statement. They solicited comments. They asked the seven basin states to provide plans or a solution to reach those types of conservation levels voluntarily. And then in January of this year, two plans were actually submitted. One plan solo from the state of California, and then the other six states, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, Wyoming, Arizona, and Nevada, submitted their second plan. And then that was incorporated into the SEIS. They ran analysis on those two proposals, and then they opened up a public comment period. Mojave County has prepared their comments. We have a public comment letter that's in draft form right now that's ready to go. And what has happened now is the lower basin states, California, Arizona, and Nevada, have submitted basically a third alternative. So that alternative basically says the three lower basin states are agreeing to reduce their water use by 3 million acre feet through the end of 2026. So for those that aren't familiar with water, 1 acre foot of water is roughly equivalent to about 326,000 gallons of water. So California would be responsible for saving 1.6 million acre feet of that, 3 million acre feet. The rest of those savings would be 1.1 million acre feet from Arizona and 285,000 acre feet from Nevada. During that time, the federal government would spend, I think it's $1.2 billion from the Inflation Reduction Act for conservation projects in the three lower basin states. Things like lining irrigation ditches, compensating farmers for fallowing their crops through 2026. It's a temporary fix, really, rather than a sustainable strategy for any long-term conservation, but the hard conversations are still gonna happen as a part of the reconsultation that has to happen. The current water guidelines, how the river is divvied up, it expires at the end of 2026, so the seven basin states have to come together with the Bureau of Reclamation and negotiate how the water in the Colorado River is going to be divvied up after 2026. So it's still a proposal. I mean, it's a great thing that the three Lower Basin states did. But they being the Bureau of Reclamation, they still have to run an environmental analysis of that proposal. Mm-hmm. The other four upper basin states, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, they stated that they don't currently endorse the proposal that was submitted by the three lower basin states, but they support the submission of that plan. So basically what happens now is the Bureau of Reclamation has suspended the public comment period that they had going before. Mm-hmm. They've taken in this third alternative. They're going to run environmental analysis on it. They're going to revise the supplemental environmental impact statement. They're going to re-release it. They're going to reissue a public comment period. Mojave County will then submit our public comments letter, and they hope that this whole process is going to be wrapped up later this year. So lots going on with when it comes to the Colorado River.
Yeah, I never heard the acre foot described in gallons before, but the best description I've ever heard, Supervisor, was imagine a football field that's filled 1 foot deep with water, and that would be an acre foot. So anyway,
that's right.
Yep. You talk about 2026, and Senator Reid, you know, as loathed as he was in Arizona and with a lot of Republicans in that, talked about well before the time that he passed, was renegotiating the Colorado River Compact, which was negotiated back in, what, the 1930s, around the time Hoover Dam was built. So are we looking at a very difficult renegotiation of the Colorado River Compact, or just kicking the can down the road as far as these kind of compacts that were just negotiated for the three states, instead of all seven getting on the same page? What do you think will happen there after 2026?
Well, that's a great question. I think, this week's, or the announcement that was just made, and this whole supplemental environmental impact statement process where the federal government is trying to work collaboratively with the seven basin states, they're trying to come up with a voluntary solution to get us through 2026 and avoiding crisis on the river system and in the reservoirs. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, Mother Nature last year gave us some time, right? They skirted some big issues that they were going to have to really hit head on. But we had an amazing year of water, of precipitation and of runoff. So that was really a saving grace by Mother Nature, really. So the reconsultation negotiations, I believe, are going to start next month among all seven states.
Oh, wonderful.
To really hammer out, Colorado River sharing beyond 2026. And there's absolutely going to be some really challenging conversations that happen, because you've got, you're going to have to talk about California's senior water rights, and are those going to go forward, the conservation role that upper basin states play, the fact that agriculture industry has 80% of the river system's water right now, and does that need to change? I mean, there's a lot of tough conversations that are going to happen in that negotiation with the seven basin states. So, whatever they decide through this supplemental environmental impact statement process is really just a stepping stone towards that post-2026 negotiation. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's good to know.
But everybody knows we're dealing with a smaller Colorado River. Everybody that you talk to, there's going to be less Colorado River water available to be divvied up amongst the seven basin states. And what is that going to look like in the future? It's going to be really interesting.
Boy, just take a drive to Yuma right now and look at the Colorado River, and it's very eye-opening when you pass over that and you realize it's about as wide as a irrigation ditch. It's a scary thought, really. Let's go ahead and take another short break. We'll come back and we'll get really local. We'll talk about that hearing that's scheduled for those Golden Shores property owners. I know you're really involved with that, correct?
Well, I'm not really involved. I'm the chairman, and I have to run the meetings.
Well, I know it's not
sometimes
in your it's not in your district, but I mean, there's going to be a lot of input on that from the residents of Topok Golden Shores. And we'll get into
the residents have really, the residents have really gotten involved, and you know, they are petitioning their government to take action, and I applaud them for that. I mean, that's what our government is for. Representative democracy is for that. If you show up and work with your public officials, that's what it's for. So,
Let's go ahead and talk about that when we come back, and go out with some Boston. That sound okay?
Sounds great.
All right, perfect. We'll be back with more on Speak Out with Mojave County Supervisors Chairman Travis Lingenfelter. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Stay with us on KNTR Talk. From a lost time in music history, right? A little Kansas. That's when music was just, wow. You know, you just don't hear rock like that anymore, Supervisor.
No, you don't. Unfortunately.
I was hoping you're still on the phone. I was like, there's that little pause there. Whenever we do phone interviews, there's that moment of, is he still there?
No, I'm still here.
I know. You're doing a great job, by the way. All right, Speak Out, brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com by the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. Also, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006, and featuring those self-service doggy washes. And, of course, Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years, older than the London Bridge. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan, and something I know Supervisor Lingenfelter would sign on to. Shop local, spend local, eat local, play local, because it's all about shopping local here in the cities of Mojave County and in the little towns as well. It's those mom and pop shops that keep capitalism going. You still there?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, good. Anyway, let's talk about that Topok Golden Shores hearing that's coming up. I know that's not your district, but let's talk a little bit about what's the beef, as they say, as far as the property owners and the, I think it's 167 acres that are being proposed for development next door.
Well, you know, I think you can sum it up pretty succinctly that those that are residents of Golden Shores right now, from their public testimony, they simply don't think that what was proposed, an RV park, an outdoor concert venue, RV storage, that it's really the best fit for their community. So, as a supervisor, and I think all of our supervisors, you know, we have to go off of what's submitted as far as documentation from property owners, from the developers, also, information and feedback from our county development services staff, from our appointed planning and zoning commissioners, and public testimony. We've had a lot of solid public testimony. So we have an action-packed agenda on Monday, really. We have a lot of big things that are going to be coming before us. The Golden Shores public hearing is one of those. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
When is that hearing scheduled?
Well, there's no set time, but it is on our agenda. It's under public hearings. It's item number 53. So we don't have a time set for it. So when we get to that item, you know, obviously I'm sure we're going to hear just a whole lot of public comment. And then we'll have to take a vote.
Is that what happened in the past? Was this part of a consent agenda gone wrong, or what actually happened? Did you have residents speak up at the call to the public?
No, this has always been a public hearing. So basically, this resolution was approved at the board's April 3rd, 2023 meeting.
Okay.
And then the board voted to reconsider the item and set up for a public hearing at their May 15th, 2023 meeting. And then we heard that, and now it's coming back to us on the June 5th meeting for a public hearing. We open it back up to the public. As the chairman, I'm going to make three calls. If anybody in the audience wishes to speak on the item, we close the public hearing, and then we'll see what the board chooses to do.
All right, perfect. We have another water issue that we're dealing with. There's a public hearing coming up for the INA, correct? And explain to people what the INA is.
Yes. Okay, so on June 7th from 4 to 6 p.m., the Arizona Department of Water Resources is going to be hosting a public meeting on the Hualapai Valley Irrigation Non-Expansion Area in the Kingman area. Mm-hmm. The location of that meeting is going to be Kingman Regional Medical Center in the Mojave Conference Room. That address is 3269 Stockton Hill Road in Kingman. Basically, they're going to be explaining the INA, the Irrigation Non-Expansion Area, to people, who's exempt, who's non-exempt, what's required, all of those types of things. Are going to answer any questions that those that attend may have. And the reason that it was put into place is over the last decade in the Kingman area, over the Hualapai Valley groundwater basin,
right,
we saw a lot of international Middle Eastern farms, corporate farms, and also a lot of Central California farms, big corporate farms, move into the Kingman area just outside. And they bought up about 78,000 acres over the last decade, and they're currently farming between 10 and 13,000 acres of that 78,000 acres. And just from that, the county of Mojave, the city of Kingman, the two agencies that are responsible for looking out for all of our citizens, we were starting to get concerned that the aquifer was going to be in trouble in 40 years or 50 years, in the southern part specifically where the Kingman, municipal well field is, that they're going to have to start drilling new wells. They were going to have to, it was going to lead to a bunch of bad places. So, we asked the Arizona Department of Water Resources to look at the health of the basin, how much that the state thought was being recharged every year, how much was coming out every year.
Right.
And basically from the state's numbers, they concluded that there's a groundwater deficit right now from all the farming that has come out of 34,000 acre feet a year. So 34,000 acre feet of groundwater is being pumped out more than is being pumped in. So you can imagine that if the farms kept escalating and growing, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 acres of crops, that it would lead to bad places. So we have to make sure that the Hualapai Valley groundwater basin remains sustainable for future generations, that future generations have a water supply that is going to be of good quality and that's going to last. So that's why we had to step in. So now the corporate farms, unless they can demonstrate what the state calls a substantial capital investment, are prohibited from irrigating any more acres or from drilling these really large high capacity wells, which hopefully tacks on additional years to the life of the basin, and it also frees up the county and the city to really focus their attention on recharge projects and other types of conservation projects like that. So
is there enforcement going on as we speak? Is there actually farms being shut down because they don't have that domestic interest?
So far in Mojave County, we have not seen any international farms being shut down. I know that the Attorney General of the state, Chris Mays, has canceled some international farming leases on state trust lands.
Okay.
That has not occurred here in Mojave County. Most of the international farms have leased or purchased private property, but there's still pumping out water, growing alfalfa and other agricultural projects and products, excuse me, and sending them overseas. So we've had a lot of media attention actually from national level, state level, that are starting to look at this, and I'm sure it's something that's going to, you know, have to have some sort of policy action down the road.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But we're getting some good exposure. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And describe for people the geographical area of that aquifer that is probably Kingman's lone water supplier, correct? But describe that that area and how massive it is.
Well, it is. It's very massive. It goes, you know, all the way up to, you know, Val Vista, you know, Valentine, way up there in my district, all the way down, you know, south of Kingman a little bit. Mm-hmm. It is the only water supply for folks in the Kingman Valley, in the Walpi Valley. There is no river water. There's no canal system, which is the case in our rural communities in Mojave County and a lot of other places in rural Arizona. I mean, a lot of our communities, they only have one water source, right? In Kingman, it's the groundwater. But along our river and the river communities, that's their water supply. It's their forever water. So we have to make sure that water use is balanced by everybody. You know, we have to balance private property rights with the fact that, hey, you can't harm your neighbors, right? You can't put in a 3,500 gallon per minute well, which is capable of pumping over 4 million gallons of water a day, and you make your neighbor's wells go dry. I mean, we can't have situations like that here. So that's why we're partnered with the state. The INA is really a balancing tool for water use in the future.
Right, right. Especially when it comes to selling alfalfa and other crops back to the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, that sort of thing. So we had so much on the list. Is there anything quickly in the next minute or so that you want to get out there, or did we cover everything?
Gosh, let's see. So we have, we have an action-packed agenda on Monday. We have the Golden Shores public hearing. We also have a resolution up for vote to oppose 3 mega solar projects that are proposed on BLM land. Collectively, those 3 projects would eat up 12,000 acres over a 30-year lifespan. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Senator Sonny Borelli's letter on voting machines that he sent to all 15 counties and what Mojave County's position is on that. And we're also going to be talking and adopting our tentative fiscal year 24 budget for the county. So lots to talk about.
Yeah, perfect. You wrapped it up in a tight little bow. Good job. Supervisor Chairman Travis Lingenfelter on the phone. Thank you so much for joining us today on Speak Out. You're a great replacement for Brian Springberg. Not a perfect substitute, but I'll take it, especially on the political level. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, anytime. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Travis. We appreciate it. All right. We'll come back with more, including a little short community calendar, but it is what it is, right? Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Here's one of my favorites, Triumph on Speak Out. Back with more in a moment. My favorite singing drummer of all time, Gilmore from Triumph. There you have it. All right, on tomorrow's show, whoa, this is going to be a good one. Sam Scarmardo, of course, from samsguns.com, will go through the world of Sam, Havasu's favorite curmudgeon. I'm going to run that by him. Let's see what he says about that, right? All right, don't forget, stay hydrated out there. It's going to get warmer as the weekend progresses. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
This This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.